Hi, this is Sean, the producer of the Brain Fever podcast, with a producer's note. Just wanted to let you know this was not our sharpest podcast. You may listen to it and think that we're under the influence of something, when in all reality, we are just under the influence of fatigue. And when we have fatigue going on, we get a little, well, goofy. Also, Jackie wanted me to interview her. Didn't give me any direction, so I asked questions, which, as the lawyer she is, changed those questions, asked herself the questions, and then answered the questions. So here's a podcast that ranks right up there with our very first unheard podcast that was so horrible that we actually thought of not doing one. This one, not quite as bad, but it's not our best. Welcome to another episode of the Brain Fever Podcast. You haven't heard my voice for a while, but I'm stepping in because Jackie is horrible at intros. It's been a while since we've done one of these, and it's probably because little Miss Jackie has been incredibly busy. And the reason why she's been busy is for 3 long years, somebody's been writing their memoir on their experience with autoimmune encephalitis. And it's really good. I read it at least once. Jackie has been out and about, launch parties with the book, signings in various places across North Dakota, doing media, TV, radio interviews, a couple of stories in the paper about her. So she's been incredibly busy. But before we get to that, give her all the accolades because she deserves it. Very good book. You should buy it. But before we get into what's going on with Jackie, let's point out the negatives. If you listen to previous episodes, Jackie was doing her own podcast. And the introductions, the intros are a little windy and a little too dad jokey, if I can say so myself. And with that, we'll bring her in because I can't talk bad about people behind their back. So Jackie, first, how are you doing? And two, don't you think that your intros are awful?
Let me start this podcast by not answering you and telling you a quick story, which is how I think I've started every podcast.
God, seriously.
So to start
now
with,
she's taking over the intro to do her own horrible intro.
Speak for yourself. I did a fabulous intro when I did it by myself. I think that preceded Dr. Stephen Rush's episode, which was a wonderful episode, everyone. Please listen, rewind, do my solo intro. Number two, I don't make dad jokes. And
oh, yes, you do.
Part C, where am I at? I think I'm supposed to answer, how are you? I'm doing very well. Thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm doing all right, I guess. I am married to someone who does bad intros, but we can get more into that later. But let's talk about your past couple of months, because it's been a busy one leading up to the book coming out, and doing all the booky things that you writers do. I wouldn't know because I can't write more than 5 sentences. So yeah, Jackie, what have you been up to?
Mostly napping, you know, long strolls in the park.
No, let's not talk about our dinner dates. What have you been doing?
Oh, that's right. That's right. The book. Yeah, it's kind of been consuming all my time, hence why we have not had a podcast. I'm looking at it on my screen. So the last one we posted was April 27th. Oh my gosh. So we are like,
we can't even figure it out.
Right. We are past May. We were putting out one a month, I think, for the longest time. So we're past May, we're past June. Here we are in July. So what happened was, May the 4th be with you. You're supposed to respond and also with you. Okay.
Not a that was, church service. Just
that was going. Another dad joke. So on May the 4th be with you. Drum roll, please. My memoir, Unwillable, was published. For real, I got to get serious. It's past my bedtime almost already, and it's not even 9 p.m. So my memoir was published. The title is Unwillable. I don't even know how much we've talked about it on the podcast. Because,
you know, I think we just talked about like the date that, well, the release date, the launch party. Yeah, I think June. That was the last thing you talked about in your long-winded intro and outro of a couple of podcasts. But that's it. I mean, you did have a launch party on June 1. And
had a launch party.
Yes. If you want to tell people about that, because that was fun, exciting, and big.
Well, so let me again totally take over and meander away from the simple question you asked. Okay. So,
podcast.
So, yeah, the last few, like our March podcast was the Brain on Fire interview with Susanna Cahalan through the Humanities North Dakota, which was amazing. Oh my gosh, I bet I haven't even talked about it. I got to hang out with Susanna, like we were old friends during the interview.
About it.
Well, maybe. Okay, so I repeat myself. Leave me alone. I'm a trial lawyer. We beat people over the head with things.
Yeah, I'm just going to watch the Twins game while you do your long intro.
I've also found out this carries over into my writing. Sometimes I'm redundant, but I'm going to blame the trial lawyer. So anyway, spent that time with Susanna in March. She's even more amazing than I imagined. And I imagined her to be pretty amazing. And then in April, we did the Make-A-Wish episode with my woman, Amanda Gottfried, who was absolutely awesome. So yeah, we just chatted a little bit about the book. So the title is Unwillable. And it was officially launched on June 1. I wrote a blog about it. I published one like today. I think the one about the launch party I published last week. I think that one was called Beautiful Day by U2. Such a great song. So yeah, June 1, we launched the book. We had this awesome space downtown in Bismarck. It's called Juniper Work and Tile. It's this really restored, you know, amazing, beautiful building in downtown Bismarck. Our friends donated that to us for the evening, and tons of family was there, tons of friends, my 89-year-old grandma, and literally every single guest that came through the door. I would say, my grandma's here. And I was so happy that she was there. And
are we talking about your first grade Christmas concert, or are we talking about a launch party? I'm just curious.
It felt like my high school graduation, because everybody came in and they hugged me and I hugged them and they all waited in a line and there were cookies. It absolutely took me back to my high school graduation. Yeah, it
exactly was. Yes.
So that was where we first realized that book signings are going to be a problem for me, because the line like starts to mount and I hug people not once, but twice at least. And then we tell stories, and by we, I mean I, and then I hug them again, and I have to tell jokes, and then I try to not make a typo, which the first and so far only typo to my knowledge was on a judge's book. I think I meant to write you and I wrote me, and I had to cross it out. So yeah, we've also learned it's a lot for me to try to think of something clever to say, which sometimes is like best wishes to you, because I run out of being clever. And I have no wit left in me. My wits are gone. No wits about me. Anyway, so I'm trying to like think, write, speak, tell a joke, give a hug. Oh my gosh, it's a lot. But the launch party was amazing. We had fun food. If you ever want the greatest cookies ever, look up Unconventional Cookies on Facebook. That's my cousin. She made what she calls bookie cookies. Look on my Facebook and Instagram pages, I think Twitter too, for there. It's a book cover on a cookie. It's nuts. It's unbelievable. So we had bookie cookies, people, drinks, old teachers, judges, lawyers, my pharmacist. I was so overwhelmed and humbled. It was amazing. So that was the launch on June 1, made it official. It was a whirlwind before that, and it continues to be a whirlwind.
Yeah, it really has. And we've talked about doing a podcast about the book launch, I think, at the beginning of June. And here we are just right after the 4th of July doing this podcast. Yeah. So that's basically how busy you have been.
We are right on time. I'm a couple months behind. But yeah, it was super exciting to launch it. And then that kind of segued into the book signings and trying to keep up with people's messages, which are overwhelming and humbling and lovely. And like my uncle the other day just sent me a check and wanted a book. I'm like, oh, okay, well, you'll just bypass ordering it on Amazon, I guess. So I have made some exceptions for special people. And yeah, it's been such a great time, but we figured it was probably time to announce it on the podcast, just in case those six listeners don't follow me on social media and have not seen that the book was released and that it's titled Unwillable.
And I think people want to know how it's all going, because some people might be following you, but they might listen to the podcast a little more. So, you know, they don't know that you've, you know, put your lawyer car in park for a few months to sell books out of the family van. I know that you've been excited about that.
the lawyer car has been parked for a long time at this point. But that's another story for another day. No, I mean, people might want to know, or quite frankly, they might not want to know, and they might be very tired of me. So if you are, please turn off your podcast now. And I encourage you to listen to Sway. That is my favorite.
But at least
podcast.
Download it so we get the stats. Okay.
Exactly. So please. No, how it's going is like, it's literally knocking my socks off. And I say that physically, mentally, emotionally, I am struggling this summer. I am so exhausted. And I think, you know, part of it is the book and fun, but it's also summer and we have three kids. We have big kids that go to soccer and baseball and summer school. And, you know, we have the mom wagon that needs to go get them and then take them to get like their haircut or something. So but summer with three kids is super busy. And then add this book on something that I worked so hard on for the last 3 years. And I was actually thinking of this yesterday. So many times, and I'm sure you remember this, Sean, when I was so sad and crying and thinking my life sucked, and it kind of did, and just wondering like when I would recognize myself again and when I would know me again and what purpose I could find after autoimmune encephalitis, and especially the loss of my career, that lawyer car in park joke is unfortunately really true. And I remember so many times you and mom would say, like, the book, you're going to get the book out there and you're going to do it. And there were so many times that I absolutely doubted myself. I'm like, I don't know how to write a book. My brain is broken. I'm broken. I stink at this. And then as it'd get a little better and I'd want so badly for my life to change, I remember my mom always saying like, oh, if you could only get your book out there, but I had to keep working at it. And I guess old habits die hard. There's still enough of me that just was going to die trying, be damned if I couldn't get this book out. And I finally got it together and I finally think it was almost all right. And yeah, the publishing process was a process in April. This is funny. I got to throw this in. It was Snowmageddon when I was recording the episode, the Make-A-Wish episode with Amanda. Absolute Snowmageddon. North Dakota was shut down for like a week. So I'm trying to read, I had to read my book twice, cover to cover, except it, you know, didn't have a cover at the time. I was going through edits with my copy editor. I had a sinus infection. So like my face hurt and all of our kids were home and we were stuck in the house in a snowstorm. That was like April. So yeah, just the process of landing a publisher and then going through the editing process was really new and super crazy. And then finalizing the cover, which if you follow my social media, you know, my best friend Lacey did, and it's so amazing. I'm looking at it now. It's a trip and it's supposed to be. And so we got that. And the first day I saw it on Amazon, I thought I was just going to die. Like it was just so exciting. So yeah, it's been overwhelming. It's fun and I'm rambling. So go ahead and ask another question.
I guess basically you've done some signings now and the book is out and you've had, you know, a lot of great unexpected, like just the amount of people that have written you, and which all along through the process of, you know, post AE, we always kind of wondered what other questions people had about you being sick and what did they think about this story, and how much of that have you gotten, like people going, I had no idea, or oh my gosh, I talked to you during that time, or, you know,
probably the numero uno feedback we're getting is exactly what you and I anticipated. And there were so many times I would look at you kind of in my darker moments and then into the moments where I was accepting it more and accepting that kind of how what people knew or how they felt was outside of my control and whether they could understand my illness or what I'd been through. But we would both say, I think people are going to say, holy shit, I had no idea. And those were the words I would always use. And you would kind of nod along and agree. That has come back at me tenfold. I can't even tell you how many people that are fairly close to us. And it's like every day, all day, these messages are coming in. People are texting, you know, social media, private messaging, emails. And it's beautiful. And again, it's humbling and overwhelming. But people close to us even are saying, Jackie, we knew, but we had no idea. And people feel awful about what transpired. I mean, neighbors are saying, like, you were right across the street. Your house looked the same, but we had no idea that, you know, an exorcism was going on in the inside. So I think you and I anticipated that so many people really didn't have any idea about what this illness had done to me, what it had done to us, what it had done to our family, what the aftermath was like. I think humans just have short-term memories, and I'm not saying that's bad, when it, especially if it's not in your house, like no pun intended there. I'm sure I've been the same, but for us, it was, that was it. That was all we were doing. And I think, you know, when I looked sick, quote, looked sick, when I was very, very overweight and my hair was short and falling out, my face looked like it was going to pop. You know, I think people were like, oh yeah, Jackie's sick. I think she's on steroids, but you know, kind of it had passed. And I don't look, quote, look sick anymore. So I think people resoundingly have been shocked at the story. I think that's probably the first feedback I get. The second feedback, I feel like I'm patting myself on the back. I'm not trying to, is, oh my gosh, amazing. It's unbelievably well-written. Those are usually the words, or I couldn't put it down. It's, you're a gifted writer. That's very humbling. And probably the third thing is the one I didn't anticipate. And it's how guilty people around us feel. And we don't want you to feel guilty. Like all of you right now, I'm absolving you of all your sins, making the sign of the cross. No one missed anything. No one could have done anything. But friends of my mom's, my friends, our neighbors, it's like dominoes. Everybody is saying, like, I felt so anxious reading this. I could hardly get through it, and I couldn't put my finger on it. And then they kind of figure it out and say, oh my God, where was I? I wasn't doing anything. I mean, my friend Dina said something like, back when she used to see me in the bathroom when we, you know, at the law firm, when we shared a bathroom, it's just, I almost feel like so many people wanted to either rescue me from myself before I got sick, because now they see that drive and that persistence that was really awesome and really unhealthy at the same time. And then they see the onset and they just wish, they want to scream. They want to grab me through the book. They want to hug us. But there's just been this horrible feeling of guilt from friends and family and people who care about us. And I didn't anticipate that, because I guess in my own little mind, no one could have changed anything and it's no one's fault and no one could have saved me. But I think people kind of genuinely feel bad. And that's been, again, humbling. I keep using the same word, but it's been very humbling to have that reaction. And I appreciate that now, you know, people are recognizing the struggles, the struggle of the onset, the struggle of recovery. And I feel like that little person or spirit or sliver inside of me that just stayed alive through all the devastation, kind of what kept me going was like, someday you'll share this story, Jackie, and it'll really help. It'll help you and it'll help others. And even when I thought I was never going to heal or get better, or my brain wouldn't heal, and that I could not write this book, I didn't have the ability, there was still that little flicker of the old Jackie that's like, yes, you can, and you're going to, and it's going to be really cool. And it is really cool right now.
It is. And I've enjoyed just, you've had a couple of book signings, you know, past the launch, one in Bismarck and one in Grand Forks, and just the people that you know that have been standing in line, the people you don't know, and some of the people you met along the way that you don't know that you feel like you've been friends with now for like 10 years. All of that has just kind of been overwhelming. It's been fun to hear the stories of you talking to these people and getting their opinions on your book. And you've got one more signing. You get to go back to your hometown this week. And what do you think that's going to be like?
Oh, it's going to be really fun. You know, Bowman will always be home. Those were my formative years there, where I grew up in this small town on a farm and ranch. And even while I was sick, I was maybe 34 years old, but you know, I wasn't far away from old teachers and old friends, and everybody cared so much for my hometown. So I think that'll be really exciting to go back. But just to back up a teeny bit, when you've mentioned the signings, the one in Bismarck, the first one, was really fun, and I was really backing up the line by chatting and hugging.
Oh, really? But
I know, so strange. And there was no one to kind of put an end to it, because you were kind of busy and my friend Lacey was busy, and it was wild chaos, and it was super fun. But in Grand Forks, one of the ladies that works at the bookstore was kind of ruling with an iron fist, and she would make it known when I was holding up the line. But when people got to me, I wanted them to feel special. I wanted to talk to them. I wanted to know why they were there. My first guest was 104 years old, and his name was Earl, and I loved him, and he bought a book. I don't know if he was there for me or just there, and he was the sweetest man. the former lieutenant governor was there. He had taught me state and local politics my freshman year of college in like 2003. And he's a wonderful man. He's in his 90s. But there were so many people in Grand Forks I didn't know. And they would say, oh, well, we read your story in the Herald and we wanted to meet you. Or some people had, you know, a friend of a friend whose child has PANS or PANDA, which is, I'm going to, in layman's terms, kind of say it's an offshoot of AE for children. It's horrible. And someone, I think it was one of the first women that was in line to meet me, she said, my daughter's best friend has this. And I was like, oh. And so, you know, her name is whatever. And so she had kind of let me know. And all of a sudden that lady showed up. So I actually met my third AE survivor in the flesh. I've now met three women. And she was really wonderful. And she's had children since then. I think we were roughly the same age. So that was really, really wonderful to meet her. And she didn't know anything about my story and said she's been listening to the podcast. So that was really fun. So these connections are just coming on strong. And like, I had a lady message me from, I think, Pennsylvania, and one of her best friends was just diagnosed, and she's like 20 years old and trying to get through college. And so this gal asked me if I'd send her best friend a book. And I was like, absolutely. So it's just been, it's been amazing to feel like it's coming to fruition. I set out to help people. Like, I think Susanna's book has helped people. It helped me. And I guess maybe the one thing that I have that's a little different from Susanna's is I think maybe there's that little extra layer of hope. And that was something I really, really wanted to have in this book. Because although I did not read Brain on Fire until March of this year, you know, I kind of want to cheat and say, how's the ending? Did she recover? How is she? Is she fine? Is she normal? Did she go back to her job? You know, all those things I wanted to have answered for me that no one really could. I was adamant that this book had a portion about my recovery. And, you know, surprising to all of us, it had a portion where I have this baby, this little post AE baby named AE, you know, and she's born in a pandemic. And I can't tell you how many women reach out to me all the time and say, Jackie, I want to have a baby. And, you know, I can't answer that for them. That's far past my pay grade. But I know that there's so many portions in my book that give hope. And that's just that, that's kind of what I'm like seeing. I'm watching it play out at these signings and in the messages. So yeah, I think Bowman is just going to be a chance for all these people that helped me become who I am are going to, you know, hopefully be there and sign their books and give hugs. And it's going to be really exciting, but I'm running out of books. I hope a lot of people have purchased them online because I don't have too many. I can't keep the bookstores in North Dakota stocked, which I know is a fun problem to have.
The van is empty. Basically.
We are not driving around with books.
Well, and it's all been fun and it's been fast paced. I can't believe we're already, you know, past the 4th of July right now. It's this whole thing has just made our summer incredibly busy. And it's not quite over, even after the book signing, because we got some things coming up on the horizon. And I don't know if you want to start talking about those now or where do you want to go with this?
First, I want to sing. Oh, I finally decided my future lies. Oh, you weren't prepared for that. Okay, never mind. I will.
No, there's always the edit button. Or my resignation as producer of the podcast.
I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. I actually debuted that song, Stop. I can see you wanting to say mean things. Okay, I haven't started off. I haven't done any voice exercises, but I did debut a rendition of My Life at my last speech, and it was super fun. But anyway, moving on from that. So
anyway, we know that you're not going to be in the entertainment industry as a singer. So
that hurts.
Well, I mean, you could, but we just got into the writing thing. Let's not try to, you know.
Let's not spread ourselves too thin. Maybe I'll, you know, try my hand at Broadway. Okay. So anyway, I do sing a lot now. Been taking private singing lessons since December. It's amazing. So just want to throw that out there. Elton, if you're listening, that's another comment. Stop it. I've gotten to a few people said, if only Elton John knew, like he should read this book and contact you. And I'm like, yes, thank you. He should. But anyway, again, moving on. So the events, I have a website. It is called unwillable.com. It's actually a tab on jamstevens.com. But if you
just
type
unwillable.com, right? Not the unwillable.com.
Thank you. It's called unwillable.com. And it takes you to my website, which you can click on the link to buy the book on Amazon. You can see the amazing blurbs like Susanna Cahalan is on there. I had 3 New York Times bestselling authors endorse me. Senator Byron Dorgan, who's a good friend. Maria Burns Ortiz, Ronda Rousey's sister that was on this podcast. How awesome. And Susanna Cahalan, just wonderful. And so many other amazing people. Sarah Vogel, the former North Dakota Ag Commissioner and author of The Farmer's Lawyer, which John Grisham endorsed, which is a great book. And Dr. Helen Ager that was on this podcast. And Bill Gavigan, who is the chairman of the AE Alliance and a wonderful man, whose daughter was on the Today Show with Susanna Cahalan. So great people endorsed it. Anyway, I'm all over the place. So unwillable.com has the link to buy it. And there's a list of events, which I probably need to update. But for right now, I think it's all right. It has the book signings and a few of the speeches. So I'm going to give my signature speech. I've been working very hard on it. I just reprinted it. It's sitting by me today. I'm going to give my signature speech, which I want to turn into a TED Talk, hopefully. September 8th in Bismarck, we've rented the auditorium at Bismarck State College. And my very good friend, Clay Jenkinson, who's a prolific author, he's performed at the White House. He has the Thomas Jefferson Hour on NPR. Clay is amazing, and he has agreed to be my special guest. So I'm going to give my signature speech, and then we're going to do conversations with Clay and Jackie. I think it's going to be amazing. Clay and I did some interviews together in November when I was pregnant with the baby, and I like bawled the whole way through. So he asks really great questions. They're hard questions, and hopefully I don't sob the whole time. I'm going to have to work on that, but he's a great interviewer. So that's September 8th in Bismarck. There's one in my hometown of Bowman. We rented out this little vintage theater in Bowman, which will be absolutely amazing. So I have a couple speeches. I'm booking a lot of private speeches. I've had OT groups, a brain injury group, Rotary clubs, one in a different state. I think word's starting to get out that, you know, here's my story. I have the book. Oh, she likes to speak as well. And she sings. So just throwing
she
that out there.
She likes to hold up the book signing line. So this weekend, folks down in Bowman, please bring a fold-up lawn chair.
Please come early. They'll be like camping out. Like it's tickets to Coach K's last game at Duke. And I don't say that hypothetically. We were there. And by there, I don't mean the game. We were outside
watching.
We were
literally outside watching the people camp.
Camp for tickets. So yeah, bring your folding chair to sit in line and wait for me to get done telling like this great story of how I knew your mom in fourth grade or some weird thing like that. But yeah, there's going to be events. I'm going to keep them coming on the website. We have a lot of requests coming in. Another AE survivor, Allison, would like me to have an event in Atlanta. Coincidentally, Elton will be there at the time she wants me to go down there. We had an invite.
She's still planning things around Elton. I just can't.
I just love it. I have to keep doing it while I can before he really does say farewell. And I mean the concerts. Stop it. We had an invite to California, but kind of as always in my life, I deal with extreme exhaustion, limited energy, and sometimes I get nervous. I get nervous about getting nervous. It's called anxiety. So we're trying to balance me and just keep spreading the word, and it's awesome. So yeah, you can check out my website, go to that has the events right there. It's not a separate page. And just as always, following my social media helps. But yeah, I really want to turn my signature speech into a TED Talk. That would be, you know, a much wider audience. And that's something my publishers want. And they have used a lot of big words. I said that the other day and I'm like, oh my God, I just sounded like Donald Trump. I use big words. But they have used very big, kind words like, like powerhouse. And I don't remember the other ones, but they were really nice. So my publishers are thrilled. The book is, they think it's selling like gangbusters. So all you 6 listeners, please tell your friends. So far, all we hear is you know, all we hear are good things.
Like that 7th listener to join in at any time. No, it's been great. And it's been fun, but yes, it has been exhausting. And with that, it is past your bedtime and getting close to your promise of having a 30-minute podcast.
Yay. Okay. Do I get to read something out of the book, though, before you cut me off?
Well, I guess you could. It all depends, though. With you, like normal people would read like a little excerpt, but you, I could see you keep on going two chapters and me having anxiety about you reading two chapters.
What if I read the whole book on the podcast, just like an audiobook? Speaking of that, I don't have an audiobook yet. I think it might be in the works. Everything is, you know, it's a lot of time, it's a lot of expense, but we are definitely thinking about that. So if you are an audiobook listener,
take a vote on who you'd like to read the audiobook, Jackie herself or me trying to impersonate Morgan Freeman.
We already know how that Twitter poll is going to go. So no, I'm reading it, which would be really fun, but sounds like a lot of work. So yeah. Okay. I won't do the whole audiobook. Oh, I had a great thought a minute ago too. It had something to do with my lines, the launch, old friends, but it passed. So I guess it's not that important. Write me a message if you really want to hear about it. I'm sure I could tell you. Maybe it was that I was
podcast, by the way.
Maybe it was that I was going to say, if you have like really specific feedback, I would love that. That is one thing I did not anticipate, that a lot of people would give very general feedback. Like I really want someone to say, oh my God, I was moved on page, you know, 106, and where I dog-eared page 99 and wrote this quote down. I've had one friend that told me, you know, she wrote a few quotes, but I would love to know more of what spoke to people, just if there were, you know, moments, that would be fun to hear. But anyway, okay, I'll read this. Actually, I flipped open the book tonight for a reason, and my daughter looked at me and said, Mom, why are you reading your book? I said, I'm not. I'm looking for something, sassy pants. But this was actually where I flipped to. So it's page 79. And I thought of this because I'm sitting in my office right now, and I can actually still vividly remember this. So this is my last day of work. It's May 8th, and I leave my office to never return, of course, unbeknownst to me. And I didn't have much left that week, which was why I could leave for my quote week's break. But the next, I think it was next Wednesday, I had a DUI administrative hearing. And I remember this moment. So here's what I wrote. Oh, by the way, I'd had a massive panic attack at my desk, and you were like sick to your stomach about it as I called you. So sorry if you haven't gotten to that part in the book yet.
Thanks or you for haven't dredging read it. These memories up at 9:10 at night. Thank you.
Yeah, sleep well. Okay. When I got home shortly thereafter, I dropped my bag in my office. I stood miserably at the threshold and debated what I should do. I knew that I had an administrative hearing for a DUI case, and it was the next week. Something inside me told me I wasn't going to be able to handle the case, and it was a very strong feeling. So I listened. At 5:31 p.m., I emailed my colleague, Lloyd, and only wrote in the subject line of the email, "Will you please call my cell?" Lloyd quickly called me back, and I asked him if he would take the DUI case for me. I told him it was brand new and that I thought I had some things coming up that would prevent me from representation. He was happy to take the case. I quickly arranged with my office to call my client and let her know that I couldn't represent her, but that Lloyd was an excellent lawyer and she would be in good hands. That was my last official work as a practicing attorney at the Stebbins Malloy Law Firm. From there, my emails go silent. My letters go silent. Clients can no longer speak with me. My planner is blank and I become a stranger to my own firm. From that night on, the lights in my life start to go very dim. And so does my memory. For the next month, I almost ceased to exist. Dun, dun, dun. Can you imagine me telling Lloyd like, oh, I just think I have something coming up. I didn't really expand. Yes, I definitely had something coming up.
Definitely had something coming up. And we were all basically in for a bunch of surprises.
In for all kinds of quote stuff. So yeah, I mean, I'm looking right there at the doorway, just standing there. And I remember holding my bag. And at that point, I was just so emotionally and physically tapped and drained and my brain hurt, but I didn't really know how or why. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I can show up in front of an administrative law judge next week. So I'll just go ahead and change that. So yeah, I read that tonight and it kind of caught my eye, just that I was on my way out and had no idea. And yeah, that is the first public reading of the book I've done. Again, sorry I didn't warm up for my singing or reading, but you get the gist of it. So,
well, I mean, we've had better podcasts. I think we both came into this very tired, and we probably should have done this a month ago. But
2 months ago, earlier in the day. But here we are. Quit being such a naysayer. You're the self-fulfilling prophecy. You're saying it's bad, so everyone's gonna go, oh my gosh, it's bad. But yeah, we're just here to update you on the book. So as always, jms@jamstebbins.com is my email, and you can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and by pigeon and a tin can. Unwillable.com is the website. You can find the book on Amazon. If you're in North Dakota, you can get it at Ferguson bookstores in West Fargo, Grand Forks, and Bismarck. And last I knew, Walmart had actually picked it up, and my publisher was pretty surprised. He thought that was really quick that happened. So you can actually order it online at Walmart. So you could buy like Suave shampoo, Cheerios, and my book from Walmart if you were so inclined.
I mean, it sounds like a fun night. The shampoo, Cheerios,
and deodorant, Advil, a tablecloth.
Which some of those, I mean, if you're, you know, not used to these types of situations of, you know, near death experiences, maybe head on over to the liquor side of things and get a bottle of Jack. I'm not condoning drinking, but after reading it, you might understand. But yeah, it's been exciting to see where it's been picked up and just some of the reviews and where else it might get picked up. So it's been really fun just on my side watching you. I'm tired watching you, and I'm tired of hauling boxes of books in and out places. So,
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, cute book man.
Thank you. Well, that would actually be a good license plate for my vehicle, Bookman. Maybe that's an idea.
Not to be confused with Cosmo Kramer's Bleep Man. Yeah. All right, we're probably at 30 minutes. Last thing, just like ask me my favorite song so you can have something for the outro. We have not rehearsed this.
What is your favorite song that is not sung, played, has absolutely nothing to do with Elton John himself?
Okay, today when I was out for a power walk, I just added power, I don't power walk. When I was out for a probably light stroll in my old age.
Like power walking.
Thunderstruck came on. Thunder.
Well, you being a UND alumni and possibly some NDSU alumni listening to this, you might catch a little heat for that. Because that's their intro song for every football game.
Well, I'm sorry, NDSU, you stole it from me, because you know what? I've been thunderstruck. Mic drop.
Okay. That's a perfect ending. Well, thank you. I guess we will end it on that. Here is Thunderstruck by AC/DC, as requested by Ms. Stebbins herself.